Thank you, Thomas. Good evening. Wanted to first start off with a little story about someone a lot of us studied in school by the name of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Ralph Waldo Emerson was a well-known poet, lecturer, and essayist who led the Transcendentalist movement of the mid-19th century. He was viewed by many of his time as a champion of individualism and a constant critic of pressures that society places upon individuals in general. He often circulated his thoughts through dozens of published essays and more than 1,500 public lectures throughout the United States in the mid-1800s. He was once quoted as saying, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are small matters to what lies within us." This statement is very true in that we as human beings are capable of many impressive feats throughout our lives. However, with all due respect to Mr. Emerson, the whole concept of individualism is sadly missing one glaring aspect. Where do these abilities come from? The answer to that question, as all of us here know, is that every blessing and ability that anyone has in the world is due to our Father who is in heaven. If anyone has their Bibles, they could turn to James chapter 1. I had a scripture I wanted to read from this chapter. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not this man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, where it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." In the scripture, James hits the nail on the head when he talks about every good and perfect blessing being one that is truly received from God. His blessings are so incredible and never-ending that we simply can't begin to count them. When you think over your life and some of the accomplishments that you have been able to achieve, you might want to take a little moment and pat yourself on the back for the good job that you have done. And there's nothing wrong with carrying a humble confidence about your accomplishments, but when it comes down to it, we all know that none of them would have been possible without our Father in heaven. It is very easy for any of us to take some of these blessings for granted, unfortunately. The me-first mentality that society tries to assimilate into our conscious minds has so many people asking, "What have you done for me lately?" instead of being truly thankful for the incredible blessings that have been bestowed upon us. The devil is constantly tempting us to say, "Give me more," while as Christians we know that contentment and thankfulness for all of these blessings is the proper attitude to maintain. In Psalms chapter 9, David recites a psalm of prayer and thanksgiving that we should all really keep in mind. Psalm 9 states, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." The sentiment that David is expressing in this scripture is truly one that we should try to model our attitudes after. David continues this thought in the 75th Psalm when he says, "We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near." The Psalms written by David in the Old Testament cover a wide variety of topics, but the ones regarding thanksgiving for the heavenly blessings that we receive definitely stand out to me. One of the numerous ways that God blesses us occurs when we worry about certain things that we don't need to be worrying about in the first place. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." The comments that Jesus makes here in Matthew chapter 6 really hit home, so to speak, by pointing out that we have no need to worry about so many of the insignificant things that we do worry about on a day-to-day basis. I certainly can't speak for everyone here in attendance this evening, but I know that in my life, I tend to worry about things that I have no control over. I don't worry about what I will eat or what I will wear typically, like the examples Jesus mentions in this passage, but I tend to dwell on things when it comes down to it are either not that important in the first place or things that I can't do anything about at the moment. In this chapter, Jesus reminds us that we are basically wasting our time and demonstrating a lack of faith if we worry about insignificant things because God will take care of our daily needs. God proves to us on a daily basis how he will provide us with everything that we need to survive. And it is truly these type of blessings that we need to be both mindful of and appreciative of at the same time. These material and physical blessings that are provided to us help us sustain our lives here on earth, but none of these are more important than the spiritual blessings that are bestowed upon us as well. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul begins to touch on some of these spiritual blessings and how they impact our lives in eternity. If anyone still has their Bible open, if you could now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I have another passage that I wanted to read from this scripture. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him." In this passage, Paul basically touches the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, about the never-ending spiritual blessings that we received. Many of these spiritual blessings we may not be able to notice on a day-to-day basis during our daily walk with the Lord, while others we may not be aware of until God brings us to our eternal home in glory when we can worship and sing praises with him eternally. In closing, we as Christians know that the greatest blessing that we have received most definitely did not come from the own individual merit. It is one that we have received, but none of us have deserved. When God sent his Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and raised him from the grave on the third day, he gave us the greatest blessing imaginable, being that of hope. Not just any hope, but the hope of an eternal home in heaven with him, if we remain faithful, that God's grace would bring us home to be with him in heaven, so we can spend our lives there with him eternally. If there are any here this evening who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or who would want to put away their old life through baptism and begin their daily walk with Him, or if there are any who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Master, who may have fallen away or might possibly not be at a place in their lives where their relationship is at a point where they would like it to be, please let them come forward now as we stand and as we sing.